Stop lying.
From the smallest room in New York City,
whoever is listening
comes a show that gives you a reason to live.
All right, let me ask you
just
something.
Just things can feel like oppression when you're used to privilege. You know,
right.
Sometimes regular life seems very much like a raw deal. If it's like, wait a second, what's going on here? How come I don't get to be first in line? You know, how come I'm not zipped right to the front?
Right.
Why am I being treated as if I'm similar to these people? And then, wait a second, it's because I'm so used to being catered to really, like, at all times.
Have you ever heard this?
As a person of non-color.
You've heard this expression.
No.
You're listening to
Racism,
New York City Crime Report with Pat Dixon. That sounds like episode 332.
Most recent episode.
Racism is
333.
Like,
will be
like,
out.
So if you're a black person, it's prejudice.
Say tomorrow.
Well,
maybe
that's fine.
Later tonight.
May not be
depending
smart,
on how you define it.
Racism.
Some people make it the biblical tomorrow. Some people
formulation.
Do
was
the you know
rape.
Go ahead. We can tone that down a little bit. Take it out of the picture. Hi, how are you? This is live from the Kumia studio where the truth is still true. Thank God for this place. Because without it, I'd be crazy. I'd be really upset all the time. You know, people live in bubbles now. And this might be a bubble, but this is the true one. This is where it actually is. There's not another place like this where you can say the kind of shit we say at will. So, hi, Will. How are you? I'll take your calls tonight here on Crime Report on Compound Media. The number is on the screen, and I'd love to hear from you if you have a crime you'd like to discuss in your area, because we go local, national, international, if you like. If you want to call from the southern hemisphere of Australia, you're perfectly welcome to do so. And we'll start with the local news here momentarily. We'll look at some front page news here from the New York Post and the Daily News. Yeah, we cover crime here. We cover what's happening in New York City and apparently what's happening here. A couple of basketball players on the front of the Post. Now it says, as you can see, "Honey, I lost the kid." Well, it was a guy who was drunk or high or both, and he left his kid up on a subway platform on the Upper East Side. Well, the kid was fine. Yeah, we're all a little forgetful from time to time when we're on heroin. You know, some people know. I've never done heroin. It just seems too medical. This is a fascinating story, this guy. He offered to take the kid home on the subway, fell asleep, and the Post sneaking in an extra added joke headline. As you can see, "Yawn, baby, gone." That's right. The guy just got a little sleepy. You know, kids have it pretty good. This is, "Dude, where's my carriage?" His Facebook handle is Tarzan Cannabis. He told his girlfriend he'd take their six-month-old daughter home on the subway around 2:30 a.m. Left the baby on an Upper East Side train platform. 6 months old. I'm sorry. That's pretty young to find your way around. It's hard to imagine leaving just a baby. Now, a kid, you know, they can run off. They're a handful. What's with this baby? You leave a baby. Do you have a baby? Do you have a kid? Is this a caller here? Can we speak to this Jerry? Hello, Jerry.
Hey, how you doing, man, Pat?
Hey, I'm great. How about yourself? You're in California?
No, this is Jerry from Louisiana.
Oh, Louisiana. Oh, I see. I saw L.A. Okay, that's even better. I like Louisiana. Where are you at in Louisiana?
I'm in Baton Rouge, just on the outside.
I've been there before. Yeah, I've been down there. I did a comedy show there maybe 15, 18 years ago, and I had the what's the dish down there that everybody eats? It's
they crawfish a lot.
Yeah, it's like something that they make. It's got rice and all this stuff. But it was very good.
Jambalaya.
Yeah, well, it wasn't jambalaya either. It was I don't remember what
gumbo?
It was.
Gumbo?
No, not gumbo. No. Something to eat with a fork, you know?
Man, I don't know, man.
Doesn't
I'm
matter.
Blank here.
Hey, it doesn't really matter, because what matters is, you know, what's going on down there in Louisiana. You got a crime you want to talk about?
Well, dude, I mean, did you hear that Anthony Cumia got suspended from Twitter again?
No.
It's a fucking shame, man. It's like Twitter's trying to constantly shut down freedom of speech, dude.
Yeah, it's true. You know, what's going on is the corporations now being used as tools of the state, and you know, there's nothing we can do about it because it's not a First Amendment issue, really. It's, you know, they can do what they want. They're private companies. Talk about Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. They're shutting down the conservative users on YouTube. Well, it's really going to be bad in the days to come, in the years to come, you know, because how are we going to win another election if we can't communicate with people? I mean, we don't have the mass media or the social media.
Sure. I mean, even Anthony said today, he's like, well, it's a, at this point, it's a public company. Like, it's a free to, it's a speech kind of thing. You can't, you know, if someone made those remarks, terrible remarks inside of a Twitter company, then you could fire them. But this is everybody's opinion, you know?
All right. Yeah, but far be it from me to disagree with Ant on that, you know, and I do think that it's the company has responsibility to be fair about that, because, you know, if not, then, you know, what are we really looking at? But, you know, on the other hand, I don't know. I mean, like, aren't they within their rights to, you know, say who can? I mean, the way they define hate speech is pretty, you know, ambiguous, don't you think?
Sure, absolutely, dude. It's pretty much whoever they disagree with, they have the right to reserve punishment on them.
Right, you know, and not only that, but they don't even tell you what it is. You know, like,
exactly.
You know, I think it was Steven Crowder who was suspended from Facebook. They don't tell him the reason. They don't tell him, you know, which post it was that violated it. I mean, they won't really let you operate within the you know, non-existent sort of parameters that they define, you know, because they don't define it. It's really frustrating. And, you
yeah,
know,
dude,
especially when you see the kind of shit that people on the other side, the communists, are posting.
Absolutely. I was just going to say that, man. Like, apparently the people that got him banned were, like, people that like fucking anime child porn and shit. I'm not even kidding, dude.
Yeah, I'm sure you're not. Yeah, anime child porn.
And you got dudes like fucking Farrakhan out there who's a blatant anti-Semitic.
Yeah,
he's gotta pick on poor old Ant. I don't get that, man.
He hates racist, and I mean, he hates white people, is what I mean. And he hates,
it's Jews, man.
And he hates those Jews. He's not really too big on women either. He kind of,
kind of a dickhead.
Farrakhan, yeah, he's a bit of a dickhead. And he wears a bow tie, too. You can't trust a guy in a bow tie. You know? I don't care if it's Orville Redenbacher or Farrakhan. You know, one thing about Farrakhan is that the feminists have embraced him now. And you think, well, that's confusing, because he just says they should be home, you know, like being subservient to men, which, you know, that's not something I necessarily disagree with. That's a choice. But, you know, you would think the feminists would have a problem with that.
Man.
You know, you'd think they'd have a problem with it. But the reason they don't is because the way social justice started historically was if anybody has anything you don't have, then that's the degree to which they are oppressing you, right?
And exactly.
And so they look at who has the most, and they figure that's the Jews. And so, like, you know, his anti-Semitism works within the larger scheme. And really, all people who believe in social justice hate Jews.
Yeah, dude. I mean, really, they're just like a conspiracy, I think, against anybody that they think is better in the social ladder. I think it's something that they just need a torch to burn. I think they just need a hill to die on against, you know, just something to blame their misfortune on, Pat. That's what I'm trying to say here.
Well, you know what we're looking at now is a situation where we are the ones perceived to, like, have stuff, I guess, in a way. White men primarily are the ones that it's okay to say anything about. Christians, too, you know. Anybody
yeah,
like
I'm
that.
A Christian.
Yeah, me too. Good to talk to you, my brother in Christ. But you see, we're the ones that we have to they need to take us out, because we're the only things that stand between a great nation and just a communist shithole, you know? And it's the Christians, it's white guys with guns, it's white guys who know something about their constitutional rights.
Sure,
and you know, without us, they got a pretty easy time of just, you know, taking this country straight down the toilet.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, I listen to your show, and I listen to Alex Jones sometimes, and, you know, like, they're really dead on with a lot of things. Like, Alex Jones, he was talking about, like, harmful chemicals in toothpaste that can affect your mind. You know
yeah.
that?
Don't know anything about that, no. I hardly ever brush my teeth.
Either, man.
I don't really brush my teeth much, and I mostly use a water pick. So that's a way you can get around that if you're really concerned about the toothpaste controlling your mind.
Well, dude, I don't even brush my teeth no more. Like, I didn't believe him, so I had an experiment. I ate a bunch of toothpaste. Man, I felt terrible. He's right. There's something weird in that toothpaste, man.
Yeah, you eat enough of it, it'll fuck you up.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's not one of your popular Cajun dishes down there in Louisiana, I'm sure.
Now, you know, and speaking of that, like, I ain't no homophobe neither, but my restaurant business is taking a major hit, man.
Really? Why?
Well, now with all these gay frogs boo-fooing each other, it's really cutting down the population. I mean, frog's legs is one of my most popular dishes.
And now they're not reproducing enough, and you don't have enough legs.
It's too expensive, man.
Well, you just got to get creative. You got to put out the bait, put a little fag frog out there, and, you know, kind of take them all in one fell swoop.
Yeah, but you can't use them for too long. You got to deal with the frog AIDS. It's a whole mess, pal.
Frog AIDS is something that is so little talked about, and it is such a relevant problem. You know, not only that, but, well, look at it this way, okay? You're selling frog legs. You can up the price, right, if they become scarce.
Sure, but it becomes way too expensive to even make it, like, affordable, you know?
Well, let these fuckers ante up. We got the tax cut now.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
Have a good one, man. I'll talk to you later. Right. Hey, thanks for calling. I think that guy was putting me on just a bit. I thought that might be somebody I know. All right, then let's take a call. Oh, hey, my good buddy Ray Schneider is calling in. That's pretty good. Hey, Ray, how are you?
Pat, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How's life in Fontana, California?
Oh, hey, it's a laugh a minute out here. I'll tell you. You know, Fontana is not the end of the world, but you can see it from here.
All right. That's the thing about the West Coast, you know? It's just, it's the end. I mean, I'm sure that when people first made it to the end, they were like, ah, is this another river, another Great Lake? No, that goes straight to Japan or something, or Honolulu.
Oh, yeah, I can picture people in covered wagons when they stopped in Fontana and said, oh, no, this is it. Yeah, forget about, you know, traveling all the way to Pacific Palisades or Santa Monica.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go ahead and stop here.
You got orange trees there in Fontana?
You know, this whole area used to be a lot of fruit and orange groves, you know, back in the day, but those have all been ripped out and developed.
A lot of used to be there. Out there, huh?
Yeah, a lot of things.
This country is getting to be a whole lot of used to be these days. I've noticed that, you know. More and more you look around and you go, oh, wait, shit didn't used to be like this, you know, where, like, just upside down and topsy-turvy and whatnot. Now, did you call to talk about this helicopter crash?
Yeah, the story you did on it last week where that touring helicopter tourist helicopter company had crashed in the
The guy just fell right into the damn river, didn't he?
Yeah, and, you know, of course, he made it to safety. But, you know, it occurred to me after the story that, you know, Sully landed an entire airline in the Hudson, and most of those passengers didn't even get their feet wet.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that something, you know? I mean, Sully is a legend. And he's, that's Sully's landing, I believe. Oh, no, that's the helicopter. Look at that. Yeah, that is like, you know, the thing about those helicopters, moving parts, that really does make a difference, doesn't it? When you think about it, I was watching, you know, the wife watches ER these days, for God's sake. I mean, like, this is shit from the 90s. And there's a doctor on there who got his arm cut off by a helicopter. And then he developed this fear of helicopters, I guess, out of that, you know. And she said this is the episode they jumped the shark. And she showed it to me. And this guy doesn't get on the helicopter. Instead, he goes downstairs. He leaves. He walks outside momentarily to get some air or something. And the goddamn helicopter crashes on the roof. It goes after the people who are in the service elevator to the roof, like Jaws. And then it sort of flips its way off the side of the building, lands on Dr. Romano.
Yeah, jumping the shark. I think Mandy called that one right.
Yeah,
there.
Totally. So what are your thoughts about this helicopter crash in the Hudson, or the East River, rather?
Well, yeah, in the East River. Well, you know, I think we've, you know, going back, you know, many years, I remember, there was an old episode of I Love Lucy where Lucy misses getting on the ship, this cruise ship, and they use a helicopter, and this, you know, one of those old bubble front helicopters to lower her on a cable down to the ship. And the skids on that helicopter were these very wide, padded type of skids that,
yeah,
you know, can land on land and water.
Right.
You know, and, you know, why wouldn't this same helicopter be equipped with that rather than, you know, having, you know, airbag technology spit out a couple of balloons to, you know, think is going to keep this thing afloat?
Probably the Russians, I would say, behind that design, you know. I don't know. That seems like an obvious solution, doesn't it? You're flying around a lot of water and everything. They'd be floating right now. They would, it's like you said, they wouldn't have even gotten their feet wet had they had those things. It seems like such a simple solution, yet I think you're the only one I've heard even mention that.
Yeah, and this explanation that the helicopter pilot gave later of, well, I think there was a strap in the back seat that latched around this fuel shutoff valve and shut off the fuel. What in the hell is the valve doing in the back seat?
I don't know. Poor design.
That anybody could just wrap a strap around and that's going to shut off the fuel, because that seems like a pretty important thing.
Yeah, sure. Just like, oops, you know, you drop your you know, makeup or something, whatever it is that she's doing there, a strap, a bag, whatever. That and next thing you know, helicopter's crashing. That it's like when you have those emergency stops on the subway. You know, it's like, I don't know if I want anybody qualified to just, you know, put a damn stop on the train. You know, I mean, seriously, and this guy's, it's the gas shutoff. Now, that, if I'm not mistaken, is an essential part of air flight, is that it have fuel.
Yeah, and I would think that that would be in the front seat and not the back seat.
Right, right. I mean, just, you know, I mean, why not keep all that stuff together? We're watching,
yeah,
this crash.
Why not keep an extra joystick back there in case, you know, the passenger wants to fly the helicopter for a while, too?
Yeah, why not? You know, and you know, I guess that would be the ultimate tourist attraction there, fly your own helicopter around, but, you know, I wouldn't take that bet. You know, it really makes you, I always thought these helicopters were pretty damn safe, but, you know, I hope that their family got a refund or something, you know what I mean? That would be best case scenario.
Well, you know, I had an interesting thing that a police helicopter pilot told me once, that part of his instruction in going through the course was, the fact that the instructor told him that, you know, on paper, from an engineering standpoint, mm-hmm, a helicopter should not fly. But for some reason, it does.
Wow. That's reassuring.
Isn't it?
Actually, if you look at all my resume on paper and my background in education, I shouldn't have a job. So, miracles can happen. That was a Leonardo da Vinci kind of. Didn't he invent that? I mean, he sort of had a design for a helicopter.
Yeah, wasn't it like on a cocktail napkin at Denny's or something? He kind of came up with that.
Yeah, he was having coffee with Nostradamus or something, and they're like, check out this crazy shit. This came to me in a dream. You want to hang out for some of these stories, Ray?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, then, let's do it. Let's begin the local news coverage here. An accused killer with a lady's name, Paulette Corporon of the Boogie Down Bee, suspected of stabbing Moises Palacios, it's about time, in the foyer of his Allerton building. Funny, he looks like the type to shoot a guy at a Kennedy Fried Chicken rather than stab a guy. This guy looks like he's described as 19 years old, 5-foot-something, looking like Little Richard wiped his ass with one of Mr. Spock's bath towels. That was the description they gave. I think that's pretty accurate. We have the eyes of Spock on this gentleman. If you see him, you know, 1-800-577-TIPS. You ever see anybody that ugly, Ray? That is an ugly, ugly gentleman.
You know, that's one of the things my first training officer told me. He said, anytime you get a disturbance call and you're going into a bar or, you know, a big barbecue or anything, he said, just pick out the ugliest person there, and that's going to be your troublemaker.
Good to know. Yeah, that's your official police training.
That's it.
Rape accusations against two NYPD officers have prompted the city council to ask state lawmakers to close the rape loophole. Yes, the rape loophole. Look at the way things gather around that rape loophole. Both officers resigned after a sexually provocative 18-year-old woman who they'd picked up on a drug offense claimed the sex the three of them enjoyed together in the officer's van was, in fact, rapes. Well, the cops were arraigned on a 50-count indictment, which also included kidnapping charges. Now, the council wants to criminalize sex between seemingly willing young women and police officers. And, in effect, no matter how she begs for it, even if she shows her pussy, officers who take the bait will be on the hook for rape. The Committee on Public Safety voted 10-0, passing a resolution to create a new offense for individuals in police custody to be held as categorically incapable, like a toddler, of consenting to sexual conduct with a police officer. Now, Ray, you were a detective, a homicide detective, and also, I think burglary detective, right? You did both of those.
Yeah.
So you must have had all kinds of women throwing themselves at you all the time and trying to give it up. And that was back in the day. So, I mean, I guess, it was like a don't ask, don't tell situation. Is that right?
Oh, well, yeah, but these are women from Fontana. So, in fact, I remember showing my wife, you know, Route 66 goes right through the middle of Fontana, old Route 66, all the way into San Bernardino.
Sounds about right.
And when I was pointing out to my wife one time, you know, that's a hooker walking there, and she's wearing, you know, whole blue jeans, you know, wearing, you know, barefoot, dirty, his hair messed up. She goes, that's a hooker, and she's picturing something, you know, in black fishnet stockings, you know.
Yeah, yeah, Julia Roberts, you know, and Pretty Woman,
oh, exactly.
Right?
Right, yeah. And I go, no. That's not most of the hookers.
Now, women who have sex for money, they really don't even have to dress it up too much. I mean, you know, like it's like a married woman on Tinder gets a lot of attention. You know, a married guy on Tinder gets, you know, roundly criticized and yelled at. But, you know, like women, there's a whole different standard. I guess it's like if there's a hole there, somebody's going to pay to put their dick into it. But should officers be able to initiate sexual relationships with willing people that they have in custody?
Oh, absolutely not. No. In fact,
no?
In California, we have a penal code section which is called 149, and that is assault under color of authority. Now, even if you have a situation where there appears to be consent on both sides,
yes.
First of all, it's going to be an immediate violation of departmental policy, so the officer is going to be terminated for that.
But not a criminal thing. Is it a criminal thing there?
Well, it can be, because there's a type of coercion involved here. The female, even though she is giving consent,
yeah,
she's likely going to argue, or her attorney is going to argue,
right,
that this was an attempt to garner favor from the officer in the arrest in the hopes of being let go.
See, now, isn't, but
after
see, now, why
that,
is,
she wouldn't have given consent.
But why is that on the officer? I mean, like, you have, you know, this little perk, a little bit of power. You know, why is it wrong for a man to take advantage of his powerful situation?
Well, you know, if you want to use that position to show off, then you do that off duty, not on duty. When you're on duty, that is it. You have a duty to protect citizens' lives and property. And
how about showing them a good time, though? You know, I mean, isn't that part of the serve and the protect and serve?
Yeah, and again, yeah, it's an off-duty issue. On duty, no, because you're actually being paid to service the community, but not sexually.
I understand, right? But not sexually. Well, you see, I guess service has its limits, you know. I mean, boundaries are probably important, and maybe there's the possibility that if officers could have sex with the people they arrested, they might, you know, be going after a much better looking class of people, and, you know, that could be a bit of an issue. Yeah, arresting for the sheer purpose of meeting them. There was one guy, I remember this officer was texting with a woman, and you know, that he had, like, sort of helped, you know, through the process after arresting her for shoplifting. And, you know, I mean, like, it seemed like she was into it for a minute. It's really hard to tell. Consent is such a hard thing to determine, you know? I mean, like, nowadays with the Me Too thing, you don't have to have somebody in police custody in order to be in trouble. You can just be their immediate supervisor, you know? And, like, it's sort of like if I have a woman on a show that I'm booking, you know, this is not a great deal of power that I have, you know? I mean, like, but they always seem... Basically, I'm not an ally is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, yeah, it is just, but it's just, yeah, it's an always no, no, and no when it comes to officers and relationships. In fact, I tell new officers that I trained, I said, not only are you going to say no there, you're going to say no to any woman working in this police department. Because I said, look, you know, there's some 3.5 billion women on this planet. What are the odds that the woman of your dreams, your soulmate, just happens to work under the same roof and for the same department you do?
Man, wouldn't that be a nightmare if she was, though?
Yeah, but you know what happens all the time, and I'll tell you, it never ends well. It is an absolute disaster when the breakup occurs because, you know, there's, you know, shift assignment issues. They'll say, well, this, you know, person's being mean to me. There's, you know,
say no more. I can imagine all the things that they must say. And it just goes to prove that it's true. You know, you just don't take a crap where you should, you know. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is some interesting news here, and we'll be talking to Brady in Colorado momentarily. Now we have the tonight crime report. Eye on lesbianism acknowledges the gubernatorial run of Cynthia Nixon. There should be a slide. Yes, it's been so good and smooth so far. Come on, Turk, you can do it. Put it on the screen. That's the rape loophole. Slide 5. There we go. Ah, yes, the crime report, Eye on Lesbianism. Yes, the gubernatorial run of Cynthia Nixon. She's a New Yorker and having starred in motion pictures, Broadway too, probably, and in her own hit TV series on HBO, the provocatively titled Sex of the City, which I've never seen, but it sounds funny. She's a bona fide celebrity. Unfortunately, she's also a lesbian. And with a wife and two kids, it's safe to say not the fun kind. Well, the aging dyke today announced her campaign to oppose incumbent communist Andrew Cuomo and seek the office of governor of the People's State of New York. And while some lesbians, like Hillary Clinton and First Lady of New York City Shirlane McRae, have pretended to like dick, Cynthia Nixon intends to use her love of gash to capture the hearts, minds, and prurient imaginations of New Yorkers. Now, not that those other bitches are any better, but at least they had the decency or the political savvy to not inflict their own degenerate sexual lifestyles and immoral attitudes on the electorate. Now, lesbianism belongs in porn, not politics. And if this middle-aged cunt slurper succeeds in her queer gubernatorial plot, she will make politically infamous the proud name of Nixon, undoubtedly. How do you feel about middle-aged gay women running for office, Ray?
Well, I know about her acting, but what's been her history politically? I've never heard her, unlike Rosie O'Donnell and the like, I've never heard her express any interest in politics.
No, me neither. I mean, and you know, here she is. She's a 51-year-old lesbian. God knows where she stands on the issues, you know? I mean, like, what...
Yeah.
I think we could pretty much check all those boxes. So, no, I've never heard her express an interest, but I think I pretty much have a firm grasp of the way she's looking to go. You know, de Blasio has sort of backed away from her, claiming he's you know, not her mentor. She's not a protege. However, she did make this announcement at City Hall in New York City. I think that this is all motivated by revenge in part by de Blasio, you know, because Cuomo and de Blasio, they're always going at it. And I think Cuomo really slaps him around quite a bit.
Well, you know, does this happen in New York like it does here in California? Because every governor election out here, you know, it starts off with about 80 candidates, and it's anything from, you know, strippers to child stars. And
You know, it's the riffraff. Yeah, that always gets cleaned out early. Yeah, probably starts that way.
I think even Gary Coleman ran for governor out here once.
What you talking about, Ray?
Yeah. So I was wondering, does that happen in New York State as well?
Well, I mean, I hope that Cynthia Nixon, I would hope that she would be part of that. But, you know, she is... apparently serious. I don't remember. You see, the thing is, when it's that early on, or if they're not taking them seriously, I haven't always paid the closest attention. Those joke candidates are just kind of like a, I don't know, they're it's static to me. You know what I mean? Like, no one's going to vote for Alfalfa Schweitzer. You know, I mean, he's dead, but you know, or yeah, it's Cynthia Nixon. I'm not even really sure what the governor does besides, you know, award government contracts to his buddies and throw away a bunch of money upstate. You know, I mean, like, it doesn't seem like it would be that hard to do. They have this ridiculous tax base, and that's why they got so upset about the tax cut, because now that's exposed. So, you know, I'm not sure she could do any worse than Cuomo.
Yeah, and it's so many states now, it seems that the position of governor is sort of like the you know, the royal family. It's just there for
it's
a mirage.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's sort of like we have something here called borough president, you know, which is just the most you know, ribbon cutting you know, honorary type bullshit. They get a, you know, couple hundred grand to do this bullshit job. I don't even think they have to get up and show up at an office in the morning. It's just there's so many layers of bureaucracy in this damn city. You can't ever catch up. Well, speaking of, Mayor de Blasio's Vision Zero program has aimed to reduce traffic fatalities to zero, and the program has included widening streets, adding more traffic signals and signs to problem intersections, and building more bike lanes. Now, the bike lanes have successfully increased fatalities among cycling jackasses, and that's not a bad result. However, with the city spending $1.6 billion over 5 years, fatalities among pedestrians and motorists have not significantly dropped. Now, one thing the mayor didn't take into account, spastic drivers. That's your cue, weedhead. Yes, spastic.
You know, it's never been about fatalities, because if you look here in California, and I'm sure you have this, because I know that, you know, people tend to think of New York as being, you know, all densely populated, you know, like Manhattan is. But, you know, out here we have a horrific amount of wrong-way driver fatalities. And it's, you know, my idea, and I've been saying this, gosh, for 25 years, is that what you do is, to curb that, you put a row of those one-way parking lot spikes at the bottom of each off-ramp. So at least, you know,
why not just on the road? Why not just, like, periodically on the road, just every 25, 50 yards? The spastic drivers I'm talking about, this is front page news in the New York City tabloids. I'm talking about when a Staten Island woman with multiple sclerosis, she just went into one of her fits and ran over two kids in Brooklyn. The woman had been ticketed often for running red lights and speeding in school zones. But let's just say she had no place behind the wheel, as these two tabloids acknowledged here. But the mayor's big plan to reduce traffic fatalities, for all this money spent, is my point, has somehow missed the very economical idea of revoking the driving privileges of sick motherfuckers who do, in fact, spaz out in seizures, stomp on the gas, and mow down small children walking with their mothers on quiet residential streets. Or how about this insensitive driver? We have another one, a paraplegic menace on a mission of destruction, whose automobile plowed into pedestrians, slammed into a truck, crashed into a nail salon, could have killed a bunch of Asian ladies right there, killing. He hit three people, including a 6-year-old child. I'm not one of these save the kids kind of people, but they can. They've got little legs, you know. They don't get out of the way as quickly as they trust a car. It's a miracle no one was killed or paralyzed. Now, the man said it was an accident, but could it be that misery loves company? Was this an accident or an embittered cripple trying to even the score by snapping the spinal cords of any kid in his path? Well, I mean, there's a very simple thing happening here. Now, Vision Zero might be a good idea on paper, but when implemented by a retarded individual, I'm talking about Mayor de Blasio, the lack of foresight is a virtual death sentence for kids in New York City who dare leave their homes. And the question parents have to ask themselves, are you willing to sacrifice the lives of your children so that spastics and cripples can legally shake and drool behind the wheel of a two-ton death machine. It does amount to that. We've seen ISIS kill people. ISIS and people with MS now have moved into the same category of murderers behind the wheel. You can run over so many people so quickly. And it's something to consider, you know. I mean, like, somebody with MS, they have been generally recommended not to drive by their doctors. Now, let's look at some fan art. This work coming up in pen and ink, pastel and watercolors was sent to us by K.P. Burke. It was commissioned by Burke and depicts K.P. raping his friend Kevin. On the left, we have the familiar figure, the Grim Reaper, watching the rape and masturbating. That's a fine work, and I'm sure that will be on display at one of the galleries, many galleries or museums here in New York City coming in times to come. Now, as you see KP there, I think the expression on his face is what really is the centerpiece of the work, because we look at the Grim Reaper with this. By the way, Grim Reaper, of course, hung like a black. You know what I mean? He's got this gigantic, deathly cock in his hand. I mean, like, that's a frightening figure. I guess that's his zipper there. That's, yeah. And now, as we look at the hapless expression on Kevin's face, I say, oh dear, I wish this wasn't happening. You know, I'm not enjoying it. I'm making my fist. But he looks as if he doesn't really have. Now look at the face of KP. This is it's like a try. He's just getting it. You know, he's just really getting it, and we can really feel this rape. From both ends, both from the rapist perspective and from the rapee's perspective. And, you know, also, you know, we get a little taste of what the Grim Reaper thinks of it. So I really like that.
Is the Grim Reaper going to kill someone, or is he just jumping in?
You know, that's part of the interpretation of the art. That's part of the fun, yeah. You know.
Because he has his dick out.
He's got his dick out, so he may be preparing. Now, if the Grim Reaper rapes you, I think you at least get a terminal illness from that. You might not immediately die,
but you get to see him again then.
Yeah, you figure
pretty soon.
Well, I mean, if he enjoys it, you know, he might just take you right away. Now, I don't know how comfortable I would be with my dick in one hand and the scythe in the other. You know, the large cutting instrument. You know, that's used to hack down the living, and even down to the color scheme of this magnificent painting. The purple background is it's got a nice texture to it, and there's just a nice peaceful wash over what's, you know, ostensibly a fairly disturbing scene of rape and death.
I almost mistook it for Colin Quinn raping Kevin Smith, the director, but
well, you know what? We should talk to KP and commission that same artist, you know, because with minor adjustments, it could be that, I think. Hey, Ray, listen, I got to get to Brady here in Colorado. I don't want to leave him hanging, but it's good talking to you, and I'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
Okay, will do, Pat. Good talking with you.
And if you want a copy of that painting, we'll send you a print so you can hang it hang it on your mantle. Hey, Brady, how you doing?
Hey, Pat, how are you today?
I'm all right. You know.
Hey,
yeah, go ahead.
Speaking of retarded spastic individuals and driving, did you know Bobo's going to get his license next week?
Who is this Bobo?
What the hell? Where's he at tonight? He was talking you up pretty good today on Jim and Sam.
Yeah, I know. I wish he'd stop claiming to be on this show. I'm glad he's promoting it. You know, he didn't do that when he was on. I like Bobo, and I liked having him be part of the show. A lot of pressure was put on that whole thing by, I don't know, unnamed parties, you know, who he wasn't really made the co-host. I told Bobo, you know, like one day, a little frustrated, and, you know, like when nobody showed up. And I said, hey, Bobo, can you be here for the next few weeks? And he was like, yeah. And then I saw him tweeting he was the co-host, and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to argue with Bobo on Twitter. So that was the way that worked out. It ran its course, and Bobo has his own show now, Bobo and Bichetti, which is has been seen here on the Compound Network, and I think people are really enjoying it. I know that I really liked it.
Pat, you gave a middle-aged man with autism a little hope of light, and you didn't think that he was going to take it seriously.
I've got good information that Bobo does not always control his Twitter.
Oh,
There's someone else behind it. There's a puppet master pulling the strings, is what I heard. And I've seen evidence to that effect. Yeah, I mean, I think Bobo is a first rate talent, and he belongs here on the network. And he's already on every show, though. Like, there's no novelty to having him. I mean, he's on every damn show. He's Michael Malice, I think, had him on the other day.
He made it sound this morning like he was the cornerstone of Compound Media.
Well, I'm not going to argue with that. I mean, like, you know, there's Ant and then Bobo just above Ant, you know. I mean, like, it's everybody knows Bobo is, yeah. You know, he's got seniority, too. Bobo's been around a long time. And I'm not, look, Bobo's not on trial here, but... what I found is that, like tonight, you can go a lot of different ways with guests or whatever. Is there anything happening in Colorado we need to know?
No, sir. Other than the fact that Denver is pushing real hard once again for their whole sanctuary city horseshit.
No, not that. See, that's what's it's the mentality behind that that's what's wrong with the country. Not only the way it functions, not only the way that it protects criminals. Because no one's coming after anybody who's not a criminal. They're not trying to round up everybody from another country and ship them back to their shitholes where they came from. All it is they want to arrest people who break the law. And to not get compliance from local government on that based on these idiot, pencil-pushing, bureaucratic politicians trying to get minority votes. You know, law enforcement wants to do their job. I mean, let's face it. The law enforcement, they have to, you know, respond to the whims of the government, or the whims of the mayor and whoever else. So that's a damn shame. You think that so they're not a sanctuary city currently, but they're trying to go that way?
No, I think that they are calling themselves a sanctuary city. There is a thing that came out the other week. There is an illegal alien there that has multiple felony DUIs now.
We need him.
Ask Denver. Oh, go ahead.
No, we need him. I mean, diversity is what makes the country strong. So we can't. That's a very diverse gentleman there. We need to keep him in the country. Yeah, I see why they're protecting him.
Oh, yeah. Hey, any kids that aren't fast enough to cross the street will get hit. I mean, he's getting rid of the weak, huh?
Yeah. The weak and slow among the white and privileged, I guess. You know, it's so he has multiple DUIs, and they've actually taken some action to some inaction, should I say?
Yeah, ICE asked for him to be detained. Denver said no, we're not detaining him for you, and they're actually going to put him in jail for a little bit, only for like a year though. And they said, by the way, we're not letting you know when he gets out, and we're not letting you know where he is.
Wow.
I mean, it's.
And here he is.
I figure you guys have probably the same thing in New York, where we're, as a state, almost nobody in the state agrees with Denver other than Denver, but we're fucking held down by them. For years and years now, there's been parts of the state, including where I am, that have been talking about seceding to Wyoming or Utah.
Oh, that's a great idea.
It's.
Yeah, they know they got a little bit of old-fashioned respect for the law in those Wyoming and Utah. And Montana, too, probably. Now, but I don't know how close to that you are. I mean, are you in, what, Grand Junction?
Yeah, I'm 17 miles from the border. I mean, I'm 10 minutes from Utah and 4 hours from Denver.
But why not move?
In all reality, I really could move right over the border and still stick with my own job and everything. It'd be not much of a difference. It's just that there's, it's hard to find places and...
Yeah.
No.
Well,
I
mean,
I could do it. I'm just putting myself on my ass.
It's not like you want to just give up either, you know? I mean, like, for crying out loud, this land is our land. Remember that song? This land is our land. This land is our land. It's California, New York Island. It's our land. It's our land. It's our fucking land. We got to defend our land, you know? Have you been watching the Trump show here on Compound Media?
Yeah, I watch it when you guys put it up. I usually try to watch it Saturday or early Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you and Kevin Downey Jr.
Yeah, and this past week we had this really great guest. Her name was Jamie LaBella from Fox Business. And I tell you something, having a female there talking with you really brightens up the chat. You know what I mean?
I didn't get a chance to watch it yet. Are you being facetious or not?
No, not at all. She is a perky little ball of energy and light. And there's nothing better to put your dick into. You know what I mean? It's not a factor here. You know, I'm a married man. But she was lovely, and it was wonderful to have her. And I meant no disrespect. Jamie LaBella from Fox News on that most recent episode of Trump. Ant might be on the next episode. We're hoping. It just kind of depends on the schedule. Yeah, look at that. Now look at that right there. What's wrong with that?
Dude,
find me. Are you watching? Or can you see that? What is wrong with that individual right there? There is not a damn thing wrong. That's your answer. She is perfect in every way.
Nah, well, I'll have to get a chance. I was away for work this weekend, so I haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
Okay, man, don't be bummed out. It's okay. Yeah, the best thing, the best part, it's archived, and these episodes are evergreen. We talk about the news and current events, but we also, you know, we talk about all kinds of stuff, you know, that is always relevant. We're always going, I like to talk about some of the shit Obama did in, you know, like in 2013, the way he, his, you know, the AG, old Eric Holder there, they spied on all these AP reporters. They just spied on them, just flat, got into their phone records. Verizon helped them out. They didn't notify them or anything. And they just, you know, got access to all their shit. Isn't that fucked up?
Yeah, and you know what's really weird that you just brought up is, during Obama's presidency, I could ramble off for days and days and days about all the shit, the Fast and the Furious and all this other stuff. But times have been so fucking good with Trump that I'm starting to forget about all the shit that Obama did. Like, I know that he was just a piece of garbage, but, like, the actual details are starting to slip my mind.
And that's exactly why we got to recover this stuff on Trump, which will be coming up this Friday at 4. It's so important to, like, remember. And also to take into account, you know, that if Trump did anything that even vaguely resembled, you know, stealing people's fucking phone records, the press, I mean, that had more of a chilling effect once that got out on the press than any tweet of Donald Trump's, you know, saying, like, talking about fake news.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? They're liars. They're fucking scumbags. They're in it for their own purposes and their own money.
Yeah.
Democratic votership is dropping, and the only way that they can bring it back is to import illegals. So they have to keep doing that so that way they can keep their heads above water.
Well, and by intimidating and cowing people into not even speaking their minds. You know, I mean, like, I know a lot of people who are on the conservative end, but they just are like, I don't even label myself. I mean, it's right and wrong at this point. But they lack the courage to say anything because really they might actually lose work. They might actually be ostracized, lose friends, lose relationships. It's not worth it. But to speak your mind, I cannot walk on this earth and not say at least some of the shit that I think.
Yeah, and I get lucky. All my friends are conservatives. I work at a conservative work. I mean, everybody I know is conservative to some point or another. So it's not a problem here. You get so fucking bored of repeating the same shit over and over and over.
Yeah, you know, we have a similar situation here at Compound. You know, everybody who is here is, well, almost everybody.
Yeah, except for Bobo, but luckily he's not there.
No, Bobo's in the right camp. You know, he's got a couple brain cells to rub together. I'm talking about some of our new booth techs who it's either Peter or Turk.
Are they?
Yeah, but we don't. You can tell which one, you know, is on the. I mean, you know, you just spot the flannel and the beard, and you go, well, that guy right there. Oh wait, that's Serino. I forgot about Serino, but we know Serino's a good egg. What's happening? You know, they moved into a supervisory role here. Well, I don't want to get into the politics, the booth or anything, but like, just say, let's let it be acknowledged. The presence of evil has entered the building. We got some videos to look at. You want to hang out, Brady, or do you need to go?
I don't need to go, but I can't see the videos. I'm on my phone.
All right.
Well, I watch it on my phone.
I'll tell you what, we'll say, see you later. We'll talk to you again soon then. How about that? And thanks for the call, man. Much appreciated. And you know, Godspeed and everything back there in Grand Junction, Colorado, where I've been, by the way. Open for Larry the Cable Guy there one time. So I know all about the United States. I've been all over it. I've been to the Baton Rouge, where that guy was claiming to call from. And, you know, I've been here we go. So we have a couple videos to look at, and then we'll get to Zach on the phone. Let's look at this video of a man hiding coke in the ceiling. It's a jailhouse surveillance video captured a Nebraska man stashing crack cocaine in the ceiling of an interrogation room. Yes, I'll hide it and come back and get this later. he probably would have had a better chance sliding it carefully into his rectum. Because then he could make out like he's scratching, you know. But when it started reaching up for the ceiling, well, you know, you're kind of busted. The Douglas County Attorney, County Attorney's Office released video to ABC affiliate, blah, blah, blah. This guy is Thomas Hartman, seen putting a chair on top of a table inside an interrogation room at the Omaha Police Headquarters, climbing on top of it, lifting the ceiling tiles, stashing 8 individually wrapped packages of crack cocaine. So he buys that ready-made. I guess he's obviously a drug dealer at that point. You know, you don't buy like 8 individual servings of it. You package those. Look at this guy. This is so dangerous. That guy could really hurt himself doing that. And obviously the whole thing is captured on video. They tend to surveil these interrogation rooms, you know. They watch you, and they know when you're naughty and when you're nice. This guy climbing on top of a chair, on top of a desk. This is a very... This looks like a YouTube video where a chick is about to fall down and bust her ass, you know. I love those. Doing something stupid. Then we have this woman coming in here to get... Uh-oh. Oh, man, nah! Hartman discovering the video camera. And, isn't he disappointed by that? They caught him in the act. You're at the frickin' police station, man. You put a chair up and tried to get it in the ceiling. An officer can be heard telling Hartman on the surveillance tape. Well... Look at that guy. Oh, look at that hot piece of ass, Michelle Bandour. Well, we love to see her. Isn't she something? That girl right there would do anything. Anything. I think we have another video to look at, if I'm not mistaken. Let's go ahead and go to that. And I'm not sure which one this is. Oh, I believe this is... I'm not really exactly sure which video. Let's watch the video and see what happens. Oh, this is okay. Here we have a fight where a kid is involved, and you see this person trying to separate these angry groups of people from one another. I'm not sure. This looks like the guy's holding a kid. Always, let's guy had to come in with a backhand on the guy because he's holding a child and getting his face beaten in. Oh my goodness. That is comical. Finally lets go of the kid and falls just in time. Boy, he that baby tagged out of that fight just in time. Yeah, and
it just gets worse for this guy.
Yeah, oh boy, oh boy. See, you don't want the kid to see her dad, her presumed dad, taking this kind of a beating. Oh my God, this is the worst behavior I've seen from white people in I cannot tell you when. Look at this. This guy's begging for... I saw that one coming. That guy, he pulled his leg way back into the next state and kicked that guy into another dimension. That guy's in a world of pain. That's a black and white surveillance video. I only wish I had more information on that. I think... I do have it here someplace, but I just don't want to hold up the show here by too much. Let's see if we have this. Oh, yes, okay. A guy holding a 4-year-old as he gets into a bar fight. That's what it is. Every person in the video is a piece of shit. And the 4-year-old isn't necessarily a piece of shit yet, but I doubt she'll grow up among positive role models with a father who brings her into a bar and starts fights with people while holding her. I have to say that's probably the case. That's some very powerful news prose that I'm reading, and I want to thank you for sending that. Yeah, he walks right in and starts shit. We see this woman genuinely seems to not want this to happen, and she has a twin sister who has glasses. This is probably what the fight is over.
I want to know if the guy with the hat taking the baby...
Can barely hear you. What now?
I want to know if the guy with the hat trying to take the baby is with the father or with the other people, like if he's just generally concerned or...
Oh yeah, that's a good question. You know, if he's genuinely concerned about the baby and about the father's well-being, he might have come back, you know what I mean? Say, like, now you sit tight here from, or you know, at least put the kid inside a hot car or something, you know, and then come back, lock it up in a phone booth, anything really. Look at that. That's just a horrible beating this guy's taking. My goodness. I think we have a link to this, too, with the bar fight with the little kid. I don't think that we need too many more details about this, but very fun. Oh, that's that kick to the face we like to see. Now, that's quite a move to kick somebody in the face. That takes some commitment. You got to be really angry and in the moment. Now we have another video. How about that? Fairfax County, Virginia. A man drunk driving, fleeing from the cops. He manages to run himself over. Well, that's... I don't mean to... He really did it. I didn't believe it, but he really did it. Yes. This definitely calls for the old yakety sacks. What a chump. The guy hops out of his car, doesn't put it in park, tries to run away. The car runs him down. He ran himself over. Cops chasing him, and boom, takes himself right out of the game. Play is blown dead, and that's in the language of the NFL, Safe Space, with Tlaib Starks. I will be on, I promise, this coming Thursday. I was unable to attend last Thursday's show due to a prior lot of drugs that I took, and I want to apologize for that. Now, that guy right there, he hopped right back up, so I guess he might be okay. Caught by the cops after. And the charges they hit him with, hit and run. They charged him with hit and run. It doesn't say if he hit anyone else, but could they have charged him with running over himself and running away? My God. That would be something. All right, then. Fun videos. We also have... I'll see you there. Also, if you want to join me on the much maligned Bill Schultz morning show, which is comes on every day, Monday through Thursday, 10:30. He also has a guest host whose name escapes me, Jackie something, I think.
Close.
What is it?
Close.
Close?
Yeah, you were close.
I was close? Oh, is it, it's not Jackie, is it Jeff?
No, it is a girl's name.
It's a girl, oh, okay.
With Jay.
With Jay? Jacqueline?
Well.
Is it, I really don't know it.
Joanne.
Joanne? Oh, I was way off.
No Sachinsky.
Oh, that's where the K sounds come in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a Polak name, I guess, right? Polak?
I think it's Ukraine, she said.
Oh, I see. Well, that's a different, that's a horse of a different color. I expect her to be real smart then, a commie. Okay, great. So, Joanne, I don't even, it was all pops and crackles after that. What is it?
No Sachinsky.
Oh, No Sachinsky. Oh, her.
The Red
Eye.
Oh, my
God. Wasn't she Miss New Jersey?
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
Isn't that something? She is a real winner.
She is.
And a really good addition to Compound Media. Can't wait to do the show on Wednesday there with Bill Schultz. Tonight's show brought to you, of course, by cigarettes. Cigarettes are something you can put in your mouth, but they don't make you full. No calories, no fat, and no cholesterol. Cigarettes. Yeah. Ask for them by name. Go to the store and ask for cigarettes. And then put them in your mouth. All right. Now we also have a cartoon here, which involves the, the good old New York City Crime Report podcast, which you can hear at crimereport.nyc. And it's from Douglas Nelson. You can... hear him on his own Mr. Nails In show on the Radio Misfits Comedy Network. Let's listen and watch.
I think there were something like 7,000 school shootings in the first 2 months of the year.
That's
and they were
lot.
All carried out with
that's a lot.
With AK-47s and
AR-15s.
Yes, exactly. They were all carried out with assault weapons, assault rifles, and there have been 7,000 of them in the
7,000
in the first 2 months of this year.
That's crazy, Pat.
That's projected to be over, well over 100,000 for the year.
Jeez. And how many deaths?
We're looking at tens of thousands of deaths of kids.
Hundreds of thousands.
Well, so far this year, though, it's only tens of thousands.
Oh.
Because some of these school shootings are only a few hundred kids.
Well, that's good.
And they're not, they don't get the publicity, you know?
Yeah.
They try to publicize just these ones, like, with 17 or something like that, you know, to try and minimize the problem, because the NRA is out there spending money, owning our politicians.
Yeah, yeah.
Owning
the NRA
government.
Owns the media, the politicians,
yeah.
The government, mm-hmm. The gun owners.
They own the gun owners.
They own the people who don't own guns.
Even more so.
They own the anti-gun groups.
The NRA is the most influential group of all time in that sense, in the fact that they own more people and more weapons
than anyone.
Hey, I like the nice depressing credit sequence we have there. That's the closing credits. That's he got all serious on us. All hail the NRA. That's right. All hail them. Join them like Kevin Downey Jr. did. It's only $35-40 bucks. Why not? Become a member of the group that, you know, liberals hate. Why not? You instantly gain credibility. And keep in mind, you're supporting a good fight to protect our Second Amendment rights. I like to be sarcastic, so I hope you enjoyed that bit of an NYC crime report. And I know I did. I always enjoy those shows. New one coming out very soon. And now, Austin, there's another explosion. How about that? Another bomb going off in Austin. This is getting to be a real problem, and this one went off just hours after they said, please stop doing this. That's their method of fighting it. Let's go ahead and watch a little video.
Texas Thank this you, morning, Casey, Bill. For that. Right on breaking news there. Yeah. Casey Stiegel, we'll be back to you when we get more.
Yeah, okay, that was a good report there from Casey Stiegel. Austin is on edge. The explosion left two injured. And
hello, everybody. I'm Jesse.
Yes, let's go. That's fine. Let's watch it. Oh, that's Jesse. Jesse Waters on the five. Okay, so Fox just goes through their videos, and you know, hey, if you enjoy watching Fox, then you know, by all means, keep watching. A witness speaking to Fox 7 described hearing a loud bang, adding it was not a car crash, not gunshots, but something terrible. Yes, more terrible than gunshots and more terrible than a car accident. Oh, here we go. Let's listen to what this fag says.
What we saw in Austin last week, and that this morning remains the big question out of Austin, Texas this morning.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Casey Stiegel, once again. We want to make sure and have plenty of footage of Casey being thanked for his report. Thank you for trying, though. The first was a package bomb. It exploded at a... exploded at a Northeast Austin home. Killing a 39-year-old man, two more package bombs then exploded farther south on March 12th, killing a 17-year-old, wounding his mother, injuring a 75-year-old woman, the least valuable member of society. Police said that all three of those were likely related and involved packages that had not been mailed or delivered by private carrier, left overnight on doorsteps. Someone's leaving you a package on your doorstep. You want to not go near it because it's not only about opening the package. It's not about touching it even. Sometimes there's trip wires set up. Now, we see the locations of the several blasts in Austin. Our thoughts go out to our two friends down there, Lala and the other one. And I hope those two are doing fine. They have a wonderful show that I wish we could call them, but they really like a lot of notice and a sound check and everything. They used to watch. I don't know if they still do. If you're watching, ladies, call right in. But Austin, Texas, very liberal little dot right in the center of an otherwise red state. And now we have it being blown up little by little, blast by blast, taken apart by tourism. And you have to wonder, this seems like it's probably a domestic tourism kind of thing.
You want to hear my theory on this one, Pat?
I can't wait.
So a lot of gun stuff talking about, right? Maybe somebody who doesn't want the focus on guns is like, hey, we got bombs too. People stop talking about guns. Take a state that's red, like you said, Texas.
Yeah.
And then, you know, throw some bombs and bomb the liberals in Austin. They're going to stop talking about guns. They're going to start talking about bombs, and then we get to keep our guns, right?
Well, you see, that's a couple of things wrong with that theory, because the kind of people that are interested in the politics of guns are not the kind of people who would detonate bombs. They're, you know, responsible citizens who, you know, support the NRA with legal, you know, taking account supporting the NRA in that way. They're people who want the guns for protection. They're not people who want to have guns so they can, like, shoot up schools and shit like that. However, the kind of people who are violent with guns, we're talking about criminals who use 9mm handguns and they rob and they, you know, they can conceal these weapons and use them for home invasions and the like. So I don't think that that's what's going on. I don't think it's politics on a high terrorism level such as that. But that is a very interesting theory. Let's talk to Zach then about Obama's bad. Are you there, Zach?
Good evening, Pat.
Hey.
I was wondering if you are familiar with the theory that Obama's biological father was actually Frank Marshall Davis, the communist poet and author that lived in Hawaii at the same time as his mother and grandfather.
I thought that the identity of his actual father was confirmed and that he was a communist, but I wasn't aware of, like, what sort of communistic, if he was a communist poet or a communist, activist or something. But you'll have to fill me in on some of this. Go ahead.
So Frank Marshall Davis was under surveillance by the FBI basically his entire life. And if you could possibly pull it up, there's tons of photo arrays of Frank Marshall Davis, Barack Hussein Obama, his supposed father, and his mother. I can't really remember her name off the top of my head, but it's very apparent who he more closely resembles with that photo array.
Now, here we have Barack Obama. No, he's brought up a picture of Martin Luther King Jr. with Obama. That's not the right one.
That's kind of what Frank Marshall Davis looks like.
Oh, okay.
That might be the right picture.
Oh, wait. No, it's Sonny Liston. I cannot determine the identity of that guy. Let's look at his ears. That's a real, you know, that's a real giveaway. His ears are not, they don't stick out quite like Obama's. His lips are way more fully formed now, but he's probably a product of two black parents rather than one. So Obama has the white influence of his mother. So is this of a great deal of consequence, which communist Obama's dad is?
Absolutely. Joel Gilbert actually made a documentary, you could call it, called Dreams for My Real Father, where he lays out this conspiracy theory, essentially. And in Obama's biography, he talks about how his grandfather would take him to be mentored by Frank, a gentleman named Frank, who is obviously Frank Marshall Davis himself. And then later on, when his audio book came out, all of the mentions of Frank were excised. Not only was the idea was that Obama's grandfather was a CIA agent, and when his daughter got knocked up at the time abortion was illegal by Frank Marshall Davis, he used Barack Obama, his supposed father, as a cover. Basically, you marry my daughter, she'll go away to college. A few years later, you can get divorced. I have an explanation for where the kid came from. I can't be telling the FBI that, you know, one of my guys I'm spying on knocked my daughter up. Is this making any sense?
No, I hear you. Yeah, and so they just figured, like, we'll sub in this, random black dude who, you know, what's the difference, right? You like one, you like them all. That's kind of what they're telling her. And so you just kind of shack up with him and pretend that he's that's an awful lot to ask of a private citizen, by the way. I don't know if she would be that down with the cause, but then again, maybe she was lonely, ready to change it up.
Basically, the idea is that potentially Obama could have been a CIA asset or whoever's asset in the womb, and his entire life has been influenced by, you know, who his parentage was.
Wow.
And that he's not just a metaphorical communist, but a literal dyed-in-the-wool red.
No, he is that. I mean, I have every confidence that he's that. I mean, like, you can look at the things he did. He's definitely a totalitarian sort of guy. I mean, the kind of power that he seized is unprecedented, and the amount of money that he spent, also unprecedented. He spent more money than almost all the other presidents combined, And it might have been that much. So, like, and he definitely was trying to sell out the United States. He signed off on Uranium One, which, you know, depleted our uranium supply to the benefit of the Russians and Iran. You know, gave all kinds of cash and privileges to Iran, and then used the intelligence and the NSA to spy on U.S. citizens, reporters, AP reporters. You know, got all kind of, and he spied on more civilians, you know, just regular citizens of the United States illegally than really. I, definitely more than anybody else, but I mean, in a way that's completely unaccounted for. Like, they came out with it, but it was like right at the end of his term, and it was like over Memorial Day weekend or some shit like that. Nobody really paid any attention because of the election. So, yeah, he is. I have no. Now, what we're looking at now, the fake dad, I guess, and the real dad, I think I'd have to agree with you. He looks more like the guy on the right in what I'm looking at. But the guy on the left has that pussy factor that we kind of like want to attribute to Obama sometimes. I, you know, it's how much of it is hairstyle, glasses. I don't really know. The one on the left is, you know, Barack Obama Sr. there looks like an old lady almost.
It might be worth taking a look at the trailer for Dreams of My Real Father.
Okay.
But what I think is very interesting is that both Barack Obama and Frank Marshall Davis have had children. Frank Marshall Davis had 5. Obama had 2. So it's just a matter of time before one of his children has children and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So someday, using DNA, we will be able to confirm whether or not this conspiracy theory is true or not.
Well, wouldn't that be nice if they would, if people like Barack Obama and you know, Pocahontas would just go ahead and submit to DNA testing and get the truth out in the open about their background, and then we could find out. And I have no doubt that anything you tell me about Obama, that he was like fucking bred in a test tube in a laboratory and built to become president, I would believe that. You know, like he's some kind of bionic fucking, you know, weirdo. The guy is a freak of nature. He's definitely somebody who has the ability to con. I mean, the guy was a fucking community organizer. You know what that is? That's somebody who goes and starts trouble professionally. So I will take a look at that. Thank you for the call. And if you haven't seen it, look at The Enemies Within, and then you'll understand why I'm so convinced that Barack Obama is a dyed-in-the-wool red communist. And watch Trump. And this is also a good conversation for Trump, which will be on Friday at 4. So thanks for the call. Much appreciated, Zach. This is Crime Report that you're watching. We report on crimes. We have discussed a great many things, and there's still a great many things left to discuss, which we'll just have to wait for another day. How about this guy leaving his baby right up there on the Upper East Side? Well, if you're free Wednesday, I count on you to be there. West Side Comedy Club, and Ant has told me that he will be there. I, the thing is, he has to record Chip Chipperson sometime. I don't know if it'll be Wednesday or Thursday. I guess we'll just have to see. But if he's free, you'll be there. Looking forward to it. Appreciate that. Anthony Cumia at West Side Comedy Club, if the planets and stars align. Also, of course, the stars don't have to align, nor the planets, for Aaron Berg to be there. Isis Faggot, excuse me, Kevin Downey Jr., my good friend, Asian Me will be there, Ryan Katsu Rivera, President Donald J. Trump is going to be there, for God's sake. President Donald J. Trump at West Side Comedy Club this coming Wednesday. You don't want to miss that. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I think we're going to play a little music at the end, or have some musicians or some non-musicians or something play instruments so you can hang around and have a beer. We're going to have the weekend right there in the middle of the week, because you know what? It's life is too short to give a damn. And the hell, man. Be different. Say yes. So let me know. Come on out. See you Wednesday. And other events, you know, to tell you about. Those will be, you'll be made aware in the very near future. Garrett, thanks for hanging out. Good to see you. You didn't have to be here, obviously. It's a
the brains are loose.
Yeah, everything's working, you know. Serena, it's just like he's just been walking around catching a cool buzz, looking for some bitchin' waves.
Yeah, you got it, brother. That's all I need, some tasty waves, and I'm good to go.
And the guy who doesn't say anything over there, thank you for being here. I think you did a great job printing some things.
Thank you, thank you. I'm an excellent printer.
Oh, yes.
I actually printed the stuff, Pat.
Oh, thank you. Well,
damn it,
see,
Garrett.
That, the guy fits right in. Taking credit for someone else's work is such a key part of survival in this corporate cutthroat world. Thank you all in the booth, and thanks to my guests. Ray Schneiders, thanks for calling in. Thanks, Brady. Thank you, Zach. Thank you, Anthony Cumia, for letting us do this show. Have a good one.